Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
You have the spirit of Joseph, your Yeshua, that rests upon you, the spirit of Christ, the anointed one. Things are soon going to be turning around for you. God is working behind the scenes on your behalf. The favor of God and his right hand rest mightily upon you. The Lord your God is going to vindicate you, and he is going to validate you. And your enemies are going to flee from before your sight. Many around you see that God's favor and his blessing rest upon you, and they are envious as Joseph's brothers. They would love to kill you, but they cannot. What God has for you in the days ahead will be greater than your past, greater than your present situation, and greater blessing than you can possibly imagine. God is not preparing a blessing for you. He is preparing you to receive the blessing that he already has with your name on it. Walk away from unrighteousness and stop speaking with the enemy. Talk to Jesus. Worship the King. In the fire, talk to Jesus. Worship the King. In the storm, worship the King. May you be as Joseph. May you rule and reign in righteousness. The Lord your God is with you. That was the word that God gave to me personally, and I felt it was also for this church also. God is going to vindicate you and validate you, and it doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't even matter your present that you're going through. What matters is God is for you, God is with you, and he is turning things around and working behind the scenes. I don't know who that speaks to, but I know it is for some of you here today. So this morning we're going to begin. Pastor Ken and I are so glad to be here, and we're going to begin with a message called The Least of These, right?
I love the title, Pam, The Least of These, because that's who Jesus ministers to, is the hurting. I once shared the story of someone that was in a prayer line, and they said, I need more power. And I said, okay, I can relate to that they needed more of God's power. And basically the minister said, all power has already, there is no more. God, there is no more. And sometimes I pray, Holy Spirit, and I realize, because you talk to God, it'll talk back to you. So I'm praying, God, I want more of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, just more, right? That's, I don't know what I want, but I want more, right? So I'm praying, and that sounds like a legitimate prayer, right? That's a prayer from a hungry heart. But here's what the Holy Spirit answered me after I've prayed that prayer so many times. And Frida was so simple. He said, I'm right here. I'm saying more, more. And he's like, I'm right here. Amen. If we call on him, he's there. Yeah. It's wonderful when we do have an experience. But you don't have to have an experience. Pam's right here, right? We're not jumping up and down, but she's right here. I can answer her question, and she can say, I'm right here. I'm right here. And I've shared that a few weeks ago, I was getting ready to go to bed, and I had all this stuff on. I had the TV on, and there was some, so I started shutting things off one at a time. And when I got everything shut off, I was hearing praise music, real soft. It was coming out of some headphones or something, you know, just, but what, it had been covered up by all that other stuff, but it was always there. And the voice of the Holy Spirit being a still small voice, you say, God hardly ever talks to me. It's like me saying, I hardly ever hear worship music, and it was on the whole time. It was there, but I had not prioritized it. And the whole idea of God isn't talking to us, wouldn't we be shocked? You know, once in a while, the Holy Spirit can break through, and oh my goodness, thank goodness I heard from God because I was about to do something horrible, right? And you know, the Holy Spirit has to almost wake you up sometimes. And, But for the most part, it's that still small voice. And wouldn't you be surprised if you learned that not just like once every month, but what if you learned that like 12 times a day the Holy Spirit was trying to give you instruction on different things, and we've got the radio on and the TV and we just miss it. And the Holy Spirit was trying to communicate important, wonderful things to our heart. So I want, for myself, and I know you want the same thing, to cultivate hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, to magnify it, to make it louder, to pay attention to it, so that we become experts at hearing from God.
It's so true. I think that so many times people seek, and they seek after an experience at the cost of pursuing relationship. Never seek an experience without pursuing a relationship with God. Relationship is much more important. And today we're going to be talking about the least of these, and I want to explain to you that everything you do in the kingdom of God is great, even if it's a small thing, because God is great. And I was talking again to my niece, Amy, the other day, and we always laugh about this, that our funny thing between us, you know, is every sprinkle on every donut counts. Well, I want to use that in a different way today. Every little deed you do, every sweet little deed you do, it counts in the kingdom of God, and it is actually a great thing. Even the things that you think are just small things like family. Now, I recently shared this with a group. True ministry is not pretty ministry. So if you think it's fame and fortune and microphones on the big stage and lots and lots of money and jets, it's really not. True ministry is not pretty but messy business. Okay, it takes grit, it takes guts, and most of all, God's grace, right? It takes being willing to sacrifice and being willing to die to self. It takes willing to do without the applause of men, without being celebrated. So I'm going to begin with our verse. Our key verse today is Matthew 25:40. Then the king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you," your name, insert here, "do for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine," note their brothers and sisters of Christ, "you did that for me." Whatever you do to the lowest and the least and the last, you do for Christ. God is not looking for superstars. He already has billions and trillions of stars in the sky. He's not looking for superstars. Now, I imagine it breaks his heart to know we live in a society that celebrates people who are beautiful, healthy, educated, talented, but we do this and we reward and celebrate these people while overlooking and excluding the broken, the sick, the disenfranchised of our society and our communities. So, can I be honest and bold? Christ came for the fringe. Now, he came for the fringe and the outcast. So what is that all about? Who are the fringe? Well, I want to begin with the definition of what fringe is. A fringe is loose threads barely hanging on. Christ came for the fringe of society, those who are barely hanging on, those whom the world has passed by. Now, I'm not saying there aren't people who will reject us, but there are some out there who are just waiting to hear from us. Annie told me not 30 minutes ago, she said that people literally have walked up to her in her work. And the best song that I think I've ever heard, if you ask me for my favorite song in all of Christendom, I would tell you this, "Just As I Am" is my favorite. Because it is a song that reaches and touches the heart of millions of us, because there is only one way to come to Christ, "Just As I Am." And Billy Graham's record of 135,000 at a one crusade has yet to be broken. And I believe it rests because people know that they knew that they could come after you've been beaten up by the world. Now, I'm going to hand this back to my brother, but T.D. Jakes once said this, because we got to remember, we're ministering to the least. You're not called, and I'm not likely called, to minister to all of the big companies, and it's to the least. T.D. Jakes said, "Stop praying, Lord, make me bigger, and start praying, Lord, make me a better person. Use me. Help me reach the broken."
Amen. We once had a minister call and say he wanted to come and minister to our church. He said, "God told me that he has a word for your church and he wants me to come and give it. And so we agreed to have this guy come. And the week before he was to come, he called me. He said he got a better offer, you know. So it's like, well, it's too bad that, you know. We didn't get that word. Jesus really did minister in humility, and I think that's why so many people didn't realize he was the Messiah, because they were looking for something flashy and for him to come on the scene maybe with a sword and with, you know, I don't know, a backup band. They didn't know what to look for, but they weren't looking for a baby in a manger. They weren't looking for someone that ministered. And even in heaven, the Bible says, he himself will put on an apron and serve us. You're talking about us swallowing our humility. You think, oh, I'm going to get in heaven and serve Jesus. He's like, sit down, I'm serving you. That's who he is. Yes, he's the king, and yes, he's powerful. But he's this man, this person, this God of great humility. And so it's kind of, we see that Satan's fall was because of the lack of it. He wanted to be somebody. I'll be like God. You know, I'll take some of that glory that's from God. And it just never happens. And when it comes to ministry, however we envision God using us, if it involves your name on a business card somewhere, it's your vision, not God's. You know, it's not going to be Bonner Ministries, you know, this giant, you know, lit up thing in the sky. That's never been God's plan for any ministry. God isn't looking for televangelists, and I'll tell you why, is because people will start following a person, won't they? Right? Well, they'll follow a person. This, you gotta go to this person, and it's like, well, I don't want to go for healing to anybody but that person. They got something special. They're taking God's glory. Yeah. You know, yep. Ministry is not about excellence according to man. In other words, some of the best worship services have been led by people that couldn't sing and people that couldn't play. It's all about the heart. We know that. We know it's not about, God isn't caring if the guitars are in tune at all. He cares if the hearts are in tune to him. And that's really the only instrument that counts, is we worship on the heart. But when there is a ministry, when there is a ministry that falls, and me and Leslie were talking about this, a large church, and there's one or two people at the top that get caught up in a scandal, and then all of Christianity has a black eye, and then people will say, well, I'm going to leave that because of this man, because of this one thing that happened. And, you know, you might have a ministry of 1,000 people, and you just have one person, you know, and you see this in the world. You see this all the time where, but here's the thing. We can never say that we're leaving God because of a person, because Jesus just isn't like that. Jesus has never been involved in a scandal. Jesus has never left you. Jesus has never done anything to hurt us. So we have to continue. So God isn't looking for superstars. And in your ministry, whatever God wants it to be, and it's more important. You know, people say people have a great ministry in the future. It may not be a great ministry. Man may not recognize it. But if it's God's ministry, it's a great ministry. And it may be something so small, but that's so important. I mean, Esther, Pam's talking about that. You know, she didn't do great. She did a great thing, but it was like for such a time as this. When God needed her, she did. And that's the thing. There's times in your life that God needs you. Just like you have friends and you need them to come through at certain times. I need you now. If there was ever a time I needed you, right? Haven't you been in those situations where you were like, right now I need my friend. Right now I need you to help me. And I believe that God would say of his children, I need you to be who you are supposed to be. And I want to remind us that since God is such a God of humility, and since he's not looking for superstars, and I know this is simple, but it is powerful. In your life, in my life, become a man or a woman of humility. Make sure that you guard your heart in that area. And how do you become a person of humility? By becoming a servant. To always look upon your ministry. You're not here to be served. I'm not here for anyone to serve me. We are here to serve God. And to do that, we have to serve others. And we have to do that in humility and in love.
It's so true. God isn't looking for more televangelists. I think we have enough televangelists out there like it is. And he's not looking for more people like that. He's looking for more people like you and I that will go and do the one-on-one ministry. You know, I had to laugh, and I have this in my notes. Many, many years ago, my ex-husband, Carrie, was telling the story about, not all that long ago, but it happened many years ago, about when he joined the military and the things that the recruiter had promised him. You're going to travel. You're probably going to travel the whole world, and you're going to... Probably you're going to be working on engines, and you're going to do all kinds of, just promised him the world. This is going to be your assignment, you know. And when he finally went to get his assignment and had already, it was too late, the commander that was there told him, he said, actually, we have a more important job for you. You're going to be out in the field. And so I would say to you today, probably you're not going to travel the world as a powerful evangelist. Probably you're not going to be called to the ministry in Hawaii or Cancun. Probably you're going to be like Carrie in the field. I'm just telling you straight up. I won't lie to you. God has not lied to us. He's told us that it takes a laying down, a self-sacrifice, a dying to self. But I want to tell you how God gives assignments out, and it came to me. And so I was praying last night in the night, and I was asking God, well, what exactly are the assignments? And so I'm going to list you the assignments of things you can pick from. I put them on the screen up there. Number one, you got an assignment. You want to heal the sick? That's one assignment. Two, raise the dead. Three, cast out devils. Four, preach the good news of the gospel. Five, open blinded eyes. Six, set captives free. Pick one, because you're going to be in the field. You know, we don't see in God's word where Jesus is going to make us rich and famous. Jesus himself wasn't rich. If you hear that, you've been lied to. Jesus did not gather up riches on this earth. He talked a lot about the riches of the kingdom. And the riches of the kingdom, by the way, are not silver and gold. They are things that money cannot buy. They are being able to sleep well at night. They are being able to love and to rest, knowing that I rest in Christ. Jesus was well known, but he was not famous either. He was not a superstar. He drew multitudes, not of rich people, but of hungry people, hungry for more of God. Sick folks came, lepers came. They were all invited. And the disciples of Christ were not seeking to be rich and famous either. They did not ever try to make a name for themselves, but they did what's on that pulpit over there, to know Christ and make him known, to make God's name glorious. You know, I think of Mary in the Bible, the mother of Christ. Do you know what her assignment was? To be a mother. So if you're a mother, if you feel like all I've done in life, I was a mother, then you fulfilled the calling of God in your life. Because we have to be willing, and we have to be, we talked last week about the Holy Spirit. True ministry is messy, and it will sometimes make you uncomfortable, and it will almost all the time, it will be inconvenient. People do not call me at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. They call at 3 a.m. in the morning. That's how ministry is, because God wants to test you, your availability, and are you willing? You know, I've had several experiences over the past few weeks, and, you know, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, not long ago, Dave takes his sister on a monthly kind of shopping trip and all, and I did not know that she was very down and very sad. She lives alone by herself, has health concerns, her dog is dying, a whole bunch of things, and Dave was going to take her shopping, and I had noticed in her conversation that she said, you don't really care about me. And of course, David, I do care. I care a lot, and he does. And he went to go be with her and was planning that, and I just felt led of the Holy Spirit to put some money in a card and send it to her. She was going to have to put her dog down and all kinds of things. And I wrote in there that I care about you and I love you, and your brother just talks so highly of you, things like that. And I sent it with Dave, and you know, she's kind of a hard person, if you will. And so I didn't really expect to hear anything at all. But later in the day, she called and she said, I just want to talk to Pam by herself. So Dave handed me the phone, and she just started weeping. And that is so not like her. But love breaks through, doesn't it? And the satisfying part is that she's like, I said, oh, it's no problem, Nancy, at all. And she said, wait, stop, stop. She said, Pam, I was walking my dog last night, and I was praying to God, and I was telling God, does anybody care about me? I bake for all my neighbors. I do everything I can. Does anyone care about me? And God sent you and sent this today. She said, that answered my prayer. I want to say that to you. You are the answer to somebody's prayer. You really are. You absolutely are the answer. And I'm going to tell one more quick story. Ken took time. I'll take time. One more quick story. Do you remember the story of the boy that you, some of you have heard it, some of you haven't, that he was carrying his books home from school one day, and another upperclassman came along, and he had heavy, heavy books. And he dropped them, and the upperclassman picked up the books and carried them home for him, and during the course of the conversation said, would you like to come to my house to play on Thursday? So they went their ways, and he said, yes, I would. They became very, very good friends. You all, some of you know the story. Years later, when they graduated high school, the boy who had dropped the books told his friend, I waited until now to tell you. My parents were getting a divorce. I had just heard that. And I was being bullied at school. And I was carrying those books home because I was on my way home to take all the pills my mother had and kill myself. And you gave me hope when you said, come to my house on Thursday. I am telling you that you are the answer to someone's prayer. Ask God to lead you by the Holy Spirit and help you to do the least of these things are the great things.
I heard a minister was on vacation with his family, and he was crying out to God, and he was saying, God, do you even hear me? Do you ever hear my prayers? I'm praying, and I'm not getting any answers. So his family was in the restaurant, and he said, I'm going to just go take a walk. And so he was walking down the street. And this was years ago when there was payphones. And as he's walking down this random street and he is praying, he said, God, did you lose my number? He said, God, do you have my number? And as he's walking past this payphone, it rings. And he's just been saying, God, do you have my number? So he picks it up and he says, hello. And it's a lady from his church that was trying to reach him and just misdialed. Yep. And dialed this phone. She's like, Pastor, I've been trying to reach you. And just told him what was going on. After he had said, God, do you have my number? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're here today and you say, God, do you have my number? Remember what the Holy Spirit told me this morning. I'm right here. Where are you, God? I am right here. He's right there. He promised that. I'm not promising that. He promised that. Jesus said, I will never. Come on. He said it. He meant it. He wouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it. Just a few weeks ago, I heard a story of a man that was just broken. That someone had told me had just been crying. That he was under so much pressure from one person isn't that amazing that one person can change someone's life for the better or worse? That we can breathe hope into people, or we can literally be the straw that broke the camel's back. And found out yesterday that the one person that was giving him all that pressure, amen, they're gone. They're gone. God answers prayer. You were talking about the assignments that God gives. And I think we're all guilty of wanting a better assignment, you know, a bigger assignment. And the truth is, and I mean this with love, but if we're blowing our horns in Walmart, you know, get out of the way, how can we really ask God to give us As one preacher said, he said, you're saying, oh, I'm going to put down the strong man. He said, but if you can't put down the pork chop, how are you going to put down the strong man? So I like that. I like that. That keep your mind stayed on God, right? That's what we're talking about. There's two sayings in the world that are contradictory. You've ever heard these? And notice how opposite they are. These are like folksy sayings. Out of sight, out of mind. You've heard that, right? Yeah, out of sight, out of mind. Don't think about it. But you've also heard the opposite. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. They seem opposite, don't they? But they're not opposite, because sometimes they're both, they can't be true at the same time. But sometimes when you're away from someone or something, you don't think about them at all. And sometimes absence does make the heart grow fonder. And the reason I bring these two up is to talk about God's heart. You know that you say, well, God's God. He doesn't, you know, he never gets hurt. Nope. We're made in the image of God. God does feel pain. He does feel hurt. He does understand betrayal. Ask Jesus if he didn't feel betrayal, if he didn't understand what that felt like. So in the kingdom of God, can't even imagine this from God's perspective. I mean, we're always wanting God to understand our feelings. But have you ever stopped to say, God, how are you feeling? I bet not. To say, God, how are you doing? I know that sounds like a strange perspective because he's God. To live just a simple life, I don't want to ever be guilty of that. And we see it. We see that people would leave God. They would be seduced by the world. They would be seduced by the treasures of the world or by fame of the world. And in the book of Galatians, it says, who seduced you? What was it that seduced you away from God? And then we know that the Bible says not to let our love grow cold. We know that Revelation says that you've lost your first love. But Isaiah 53:3 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So God has not called us to awards by man, but God has called us to a ministry that he would have us. And here's the thing that got to break the heart of God. When we love the things that God hates and hate the thing that God loves, think about that. And I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about when Christians love the things that God hates and hates the things that God loves. I mean, just look at the occult. We love the occult. By we, I mean America and the world. We love the occult. What does the Old Testament say about the occult? God hates it. He can't stand it. God is always ministering to the ones that are the hurting. God is always ministering to the least of these. He's always going to the woman at the well. He's always ministering to the poor. He wasn't impressed with the rich. He's going outside of the camp. He tells stories about the Samaritans, the good, and so Jesus becomes our Samaritan. Why would I call Jesus a Samaritan? Because he related to the rejected. He related to the outcast. He knows what that is like. When we say, I'm heartbroken, that's okay, that's sad, but here's the thing to encourage you. Jesus is close to the heartbroken. He's close to the heartbroken. He's never close to the prideful. He's close to the person. He sees every tear. He knows every tear. He knows your heart. He knows your worries. He knows your dreams. And he wants to be part of it.
That is good truth. That is powerful truth. You know, God is going to give us some assignments. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is that Jesus identified with the Samaritans. And they were a people that were an outcast, and we've all felt that way before. But Jesus is the Good Samaritan. And in this parable, I understand that the Good Samaritan is who, when the religious people would pass this person by, and how many opportunities have we indeed passed by someone who was broken? You know, one of the things there's a song that I love. It's the New Bethel song, Send Me. If it's bandaging feet, or if it's bandaging the broken or washing dirty feet, send me. But I have a new saying, send me or send them. Either way, you know, so many things are just, they seem like such little things. But this Good Samaritan took this beaten man, this broken man that everyone else passed by, including those who should not have passed by, and he took him to an inn and he paid for his care. Is that not reminiscent of our Good Samaritan who paid the price that we would be cared for? And the inn is actually a representation of the church. He took this beaten man into this inn, which represents the church, and he told the innkeeper, which represents pastors, he left him at this inn and he said, you take care of him. He's to be cared for at the church. Jesus paid the price that he would be cared for at the church. But if it cost anything else, if you go beyond this, when I return, I will reward you. And that's what's going to happen to you and I. If you stretch out your faith and you do more, and you won't, he will reward you. He's going to reward you. Because whatever you do for one person who's your assignment, God sees and God rewards that. I love the saying that says, preach the gospel. If necessary, use your words. In other words, it's not always necessary for you to say, Jesus loves you, Jesus saves, you're a sinner, you know, get your life in order. You don't have to use words. It's what you do. If necessary, use words. It's what you do. It's the little things. You know, it's the simple little things. And God is going to send you people that you might not catch it if you're not real quick. And if the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you, I find that the Holy Spirit has to speak to me quickly. The other day, I had a lady that was supposed, and my brother knows this, she was supposed to deliver some bowls to my house, okay? And she was late. I had to leave to go somewhere. I told my brother, if she comes, take the bowls from her. They're already paid for. So that was his assignment. He did not have to do that because she never came. She came late. But Ken, she didn't come late. She came on time. I don't think she would have told him what she told me. She told me a story of her brokenness and something. She had just gotten scammed big time. And the Holy Spirit instantly said, you don't even know this woman. You just bought some bowls from her. Fix it. Fix it. Make it right. Make it right. And I was able to bless that woman and return to her some of her loss. It's being on your feet. It's someone that just shows up at your door that you've never met before, you've never seen before, but they're able to tell you. She was crying. She was crying, and it was just honestly, it was like a 5-minute or less encounter. And just God said, as soon as she walked away, said, fix this. You have the power to do something with this. I'm telling you, there is nothing more satisfying in life than to know that you made a small difference in someone's life. Did I give her $10,000? I did not. Did we make a difference here on behalf of our church and our community? I think so. Because since that time, she started immediately talking to me. You know, God's going to send you those opportunities. He won't always send you out. Sometimes he'll send someone to you. And every cup of water that you give in the name of Christ, you've just given living water to someone's soul. Every meal you make, every child you drive, every child you rock, every time you help someone, you are ministering as unto the Lord. Even if it's your own family, feed the hungry. Start at your house. Start at your house feeding the hungry. My mom knows we're a big believer in eating at our house. We're always feeding hungry people ourselves. But it is a ministry of Christ. And, you know, sometimes we overlook the things that people do. I want to say this, you know, because I think sometimes we don't, Ken. We couldn't do half of what we do without other people, without people like Sandra and Gio and Tony and Willie and Dave and Dan and Frida and Matt and Vanessa and Alan and Kathy and Emmy and Annie and so many other people, all of you. We couldn't do it without Dave and Leslie and just everyone. In God's kingdom, small things are great things. And I want to explain this to you really, really quick. If you will be faithful, I told you you're not likely going to be a movie star. You're not going to likely be a famous evangelist. I just said not likely. there is a possibility. And if you want something greater, let me tell you how you can get a greater assignment. Do the small things. Do the small things. King David started out not as King David. He started out as watching the sheep for his daddy. That's what he did. That was his small assignment. His next assignment, Pastor Ken, was taking the cheese. Remember, you called him Cheese Boy. I thought that was kind of ugly, but he called him Cheese Boy. Cheese Boy. He took the cheese and the bread to the brothers to feed the hungry again. Do the small things, and you might just get a big assignment. And we do overlook people, and this is my last comment on that. We never need to overlook anybody's importance in the kingdom of God. And we never need to think anyone is greater or anyone is lesser, though our assignments are different. Let me tell you who's one of my heroes in the story of Esther. He's a man named Mordecai who raised a little girl who was an orphan and taught her the ways of the Lord and taught her righteousness. And he represents in that story the Holy Spirit. Mordecai represents the Holy Spirit whispering in her ear, telling her, you need to do this, and you don't need to do this, and you don't need to tell your identity. Remember, he told her what not to do. Don't tell them that you're Jewish. Do this, don't do this. He represents the Holy Spirit. He didn't get a lot of applause, but let me tell you, he's one of the heroes of that story because she followed his advice. And later, what you may not know is that Mordecai got a huge promotion at the end of the story because he was faithful. So in my opinion, I named the book Esther and Mordecai.
I mean, if you really think about it, you know, okay, I called him Cheese Boy, whatever. But on his resume, on the resume of the king of Israel was Jimmy John's. Right? That's where he started. He was delivering Jimmy John's to people. I mean, God, on most people's resumes, I mean, on what was on Peter's resume? Fisherman? I got nothing. I'm a fisherman. Good enough. You know, God is not looking for superstars. He's looking for the simple, and he always has. So our ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. That's what the Bible calls it. But you can't preach people into the kingdom if you don't feed them. Jesus knew that. What did he say? He said, he fed with the fish. But when the disciples said, hey, these people are hungry, you know, they're like, well, why don't you send them away? Jesus fed them. And he also told them, feed my sheep. He also gave instructions for us, feed my sheep. So I would say this to all of us, to myself and to everyone. We need to learn to be a giver when it comes to the people that are hurting. And what I mean is, I'm talking about everybody that's hurting. There's a world that's hurting. And small kindnesses, paying for gas for somebody or buying someone a sandwich, doing something. It's not a bad idea to just buy a few McDonald's gift certificates and keep them in your wallet or keep them in your purse. You say, why would I do that? How would I know who to give them to? The Holy Spirit would show you who to give them to. And you would be doing the works of Jesus. See, the problem when it comes to the homeless is because there's so many people that are homeless and scamming things that we can legitimately say, well, I don't ever help anybody because everybody is a scammer. So the problem with that philosophy is that we're saying I don't help these particular people and we end up helping no one. Right. Can you see what I'm saying? Instead of recognizing the truth that there's a world of hurting people. I mean, if we're saying I can't find hurting people, how could you not be able to find hurting people? You can't swing your arms to the right or to the left without finding a hurting person. The person sitting next to you. You know, everybody is a hurting person. And so we need to learn to cultivate that generosity of spirit. It doesn't always have to be money. That's why a gift certificate or helping someone else. I mean, Pam, you've told stories of buying gas for random people and they ended up going to a funeral and they really needed help. But pretty much you can't go wrong. If you pick someone to help, they're going to tell you how much they need that. So when we minister, we have to minister with kindness and with gifts. We can't minister with anger and expect people to automatically begin to repent when we're not meeting their needs. I want to go back to the abandonment thing that I was talking about, how that God has feelings too. If you saw a story today on the news that said, local woman abandons 8 dogs, you would get angry, right? That someone would abandon animals or mistreat animals, wouldn't you? I mean, I do. When I hear about people mistreating animals, you know, you're saying that person is a monster. Am I right? Right? We don't think kindly of people that abuse animals. We say that they're monsters. And we're correct. But how much more then for human beings that are abandoned, human beings that are hurt, human beings that need someone to help them. And we represent Christ. We represent Christ everywhere we go. We represent the kingdom of God. And God needs to count on you. Say, why does God need to count on me? Because he said so. He with Job, he said that, have you considered my servant Job? God had faith in Job. God had faith in you. God believes that you will do the things that you need to do. God had faith in Job, and God's faith was not misplaced. God knew that Job loved him. I once performed, me and Pam, we performed a marriage of a couple. They were extremely in love. Till death do us part. It was right there in the vows. A week later, the guy calls me up and he says, hey, you know, yeah, you married me a week later. Is there any way you have not sent in that certificate? He goes, I told him, I said, I got milk that lasts longer in my refrigerator. But no, it's true. Till death do us part. But let me tell you, from God's perspective, it's even worse. Because it doesn't hurt even more when someone has been a long-term relationship. Imagine the people that have served God for 20, 30 years, and then they're just tired of it. And God's up in heaven going, is everyone going to leave? It reminds me of Jesus as the disciples start walking away. Not the 12, but they start, the people that, the would-be disciples, people that wanted to be disciples, they start walking away when Jesus said about communion, which we're about to take. Jesus said, you have to drink of my blood and you have to eat of my body. And they're like, this cannibalism isn't for us. They were offended. They begin to walk away. They didn't find out what it was. And Jesus asked this question to the 12. Will you leave too? Everyone else is leaving me. Will you leave too? And you know what their answer was? We have nowhere else to go. That's what I feel like. Where am I going to go? Who am I going to serve if I'm not serving Almighty God? And I guess I'm going to close with this. You know how I said that I was listening to everything and I couldn't hear the praise music that's in the background? So I've been working on like presentations. You get the same thing. Let's say you got a bunch of slides. You got a bunch of pictures. One slide can get in front of another. And then you get all these slides and you got stuff in the background you can't see. So as I'm working with these slides, there's these buttons, bring to front, bring to back. And here's what I'm telling you, that somewhere in your life, hidden in the background, there's a single slide of the cross of Jesus Christ. But sometimes there's other things that get put on top of that, and we can't see the cross because we've got all these other things that's on top of that. So we have to bring God to the front. We have to bring Jesus to the front and the kingdom of God to the front.
We're going to receive communion. Alan's going to come and lead us in communion. I would close with this thought. You know, there's a meme that says, be kind. Everyone that you meet is facing a battle that you know not of. I know that you're facing a personal battle, and I don't know about your battle. And I'm facing a battle, and you don't know about my battle either. And that's the reason we should love and be kind and care. I'm not saying that you are called into relationship with everyone, but you are called to love and to pray and to show kindness and to do what you can do, what you're able to do. You're not able to do everything. You know, someone might call you and say, I have a great, great need. I need $1,000. You may not can meet that need, but that don't mean you can't do something. That don't mean you can't give $100, and you know I'm not talking about giving. Maybe someone says, you know, I need this or that, and you can say, well, I can't do that, but I can do something. Show something to show kindness, and especially to those that we call, as I said, the fringe, those who are barely hanging on. Let's stand and go before the Lord and be mindful that when Christ found us, we were barely hanging on. We actually, when we talk about ministering to the fringe, it's what Christ did. We were the one who was barely hanging on. But I thank God that when I was barely hanging on, he was hanging on a cross. Can somebody say amen to that? When we were barely hanging on, he was hanging on the old rugged cross.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.